welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjure Man Ali of TheConjureMan.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, William Stickevers of WilliamStickevers.com in San Francisco, California, bringing us today's topic on Astrological New Year. Afterward, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali. Miss Kat?
Hello, how are you today?
It's been one busy day.
Well, yes, it has for me, too. I'm trying to do about six things at once.
That's what it feels like here. We had our family emergency. Grandmother passed away, and so it's family come together to honor her spirit and her lifetime. So it's been been a good.
It's been a sad week. We lost Chuck Berry at the age of 90, and for us comic book folks, Bernie Wrightson passed away also, and he was a very well-respected artist with a wonderful, fantastical imagination and inking style. Did Frankenstein, he did Swamp Thing, and he was known for his Victorian approach to art. A lovely man. I knew him pretty well, and I'm going to find the world a bit sadder without him. And so, Chuck Berry, well, you know, 90, that's a long life. And we can all be grateful that he was with us so long. So I'm going to tell you all a little bit about what's going on here. I am hard at work on books. I am right now working on Miss Saida's book on cursing and crossing. When I say working on books, everyone says, what do? You just read it and then you send it to the printer. No, that's not what book publishers do. And I am holding down three hats out of five. Well, not counting the author, that would make six. The author is hat number one. I'm not the author. Hat number two is book production. That's the person who interfaces with the printers, make sure that we're meeting our schedule deadlines, that shipping has happened, the payments are happening, and that is Nagashiva. Hat number three is art, cover art, interior art, and that would be Gray Wolf Townsend of the Sacred Well in Oakland, one of our friendly allied metaphysical shops run by people we love very well. The rest of the hats are all me. There is editing. Well, that's the person who says, was the grammar right? Could this have been more clearly stated? Oops, you forgot that little thing. How about we add this other thing and cut that because it's redundant? The editor is, you know, your basic English teacher. Then there is the typesetter. That's the person who actually makes the type flow. Now, in this days of desktop publishing, everybody thinks, well, you just flow the type in and it'll fit. No, it won't. You'll end up with those ugly, amateurish books that have a page that's three-fourths empty, and then two pages, and then another page that's half empty. And you'll think, why am I paying for blank paper? And the reason you're paying for blank paper is because the editor and the typesetter didn't talk to one another. Since I'm both of them, I could talk to myself. And I can say, you know, if I shortened this sentence by taking the word very out, why, hey, it'll jump up a whole line and now it'll fit on that page and I don't have a widow hanging over and everything is cool. Well, I'm a little obsesso-derangio about it. And I sometimes figure, hey, you know, people are buying spell books. So, hey, there are three spells on this page. But, geez, each one of them just hangs over a little bit. And if I take out all of those words like very and incidentally and apparently and all of those adjectival and adverbial filler words, I could get a whole other spell in if it's a short one and it's four lines long. Why? I'll just do that. And so I either call up my author and I say, hey, write me a short one, or I go, you know, I'm an editor. There's a short one. So that's what takes a long time in assembling a book, to get the most value in for people, have it make the most sense. And then after having typeset it, of course, I have to proofread it too. But you never make your own best proofreader, I'll tell you. So we send the books out to be proofread. Papa Newt, you're one of our proofreaders.
Yeah.
And Nagashiva is a proofreader. Miss Aida has joined our proofreading team. She hasn't gotten around to proofreading her own book yet, but she's proofreading other people's books, and we all take turns proofreading and seeing if we can find the spelling errors. Charles Porterfield is a proofreader, and, well, Michelle Jackson, and they check the books over. And then we have it all together, and off it goes to the printer. So that's what I've been doing since January 1st, and it's a big chore. Every year there are people who've never written a book before, and I have to kind of puff and fluff them a little bit more than the old experienced hands. And this year is it's a year that's had a lot of puff and fluffing going on. I'm working very hard. So I am looking forward to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, but I'll tell you what, I don't even have enough energy in to give an ad for it. Just go over to HoodooHeritageFestival.com and buy your darn tickets. Okay? I was up all night, and I'm here, but I'm in a weakened state as far as advertising and ballyhoo go today. But we got a great lineup of people. There's some books going to come out if I can get them done. and send candied ginger, okay? Mm. Candied ginger, licorice cats, you know, the little cats made out of licorice? Candied ginger, licorice cats, penguin caffeine mints. And that's it. If you can just, you know, I'm accepting donations, okay? So that's the world up here at Lucky Mojo. And a huge, amazing big shout out to Nicole.
Oh yeah.
From Lucky Mojo. She, her father, her daughter, and her daughter's boyfriend have been working all day to reorganize our three storage units that are off site where we store our books. Speaking of books. Why did this come up? Because we have no room to put the new books in, and we're doing four books for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Vulva Fancy, Women's Work, Cursing and Crossing, and that amazing book, this amazing book, on medical herbs. Now, we had no room for them, so we had to go through our storage units, tear them apart, repalletize them, restack. They've been working at it all day, and Nicole sent me photos, you know, via her cell phone, and it looks great down there. Thank you, Nicole. What a wonderful job they've been doing. Okay. Having said all of that, let me greet my co-host. How are you doing today, Conjure Man?
Hello, hello. Doing lovely. It's always interesting to hear the behind the scenes that goes into the books. People get to see the finished product, but they don't see all the labor that actually does go into them. So that's always fascinating to hear. I'm doing quite well on my end. Spring is coming about, so it's time for cleaning, and I've been trying to clean as much as I can, and the house looks lovely, everything looks great. But the altar rooms always are a bit of a hurricane has passed through them. So that takes a little bit longer than the rest of the place. So that's what I've been working on for the past few days, is cleaning the altar rooms. Everything smells wonderful. When you do spiritual cleansing, you could feel things just uplift. even when there's not a curse or blocks or any type of crossed condition, just a regular buildup of debris and ditches over the year. When you do cleansing, you can really feel that wonderful shift. And so now I'm focusing much more on the altars, which are going to take a little bit longer because of client work that I do and things that, you know, the altars develop their own character for over a year. And we Tauruses really enjoy that kind of character, right? We love that to a great degree. But we also like cleanliness. So it's tension between
the two. You are so right. You are so right. And prescient, too. We just did a whole cleanup of the back part of the shop building, and it was a little earth sign wonder working. We have flagstones that the recycling bins sit on, and over the winter, the rains were so heavy this winter that dirt washed down off the hill under the redwood trees and onto the flagstones. And there were people here who had been hired since last May who didn't know there were flagstones under there. And it reminded me of when I went to the Roman Forum when I was about 10 years old. My mom and stepfather and I went to Italy, and we were in the Roman Forum. And I said, "Why is the Forum so much lower than the rest of Rome?" And she said, "Well, you know, dirt just builds up." And for a long time, the Forum was half buried, and then they cleaned it out. But meanwhile, more dirt is building up around it, so they have to keep the dirt off of it and sweep it. And I thought, this is so cool. But that's what happens to flagstones. In 2,000 years, our flagstones would have been, you know, 20 feet below ground. So in any case, we unearthed our flagstones, and all looks beautiful. And
yeah.
Cleaning is... Yeah, cleaning the dirt away is a real Taurian thing.
It is.
And I want to thank everyone who worked on that. Margie, Salida, King, Susan. We just had a Nagashiva. We had a nice work crew. I probably left someone's name out. Maybe Shiva can remind me. But I think that was pretty much who did it all. And we worked. Oh, Canada, of course. Our newest employee, Canada, turned out to be a very good wielder of a push broom, and for which we are thankful. Yeah. So that's it. Well, the idea of spring cleaning brings up the idea of spring, and the idea of spring brings our topic, and our topic is going to be presented to us today by William Stickevers, one of the newer members of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR. And William is an astrologer and specializes in several forms of astrology, which I'm going to just quickly tell you what they are. He can do your natal chart. That's what most people call their horoscope or their birth chart. He can tell you the conditions that prevailed when you were born. He can also do what are called your transits. This is what the current planets are doing in relation to your birth chart. He can do your progressions. This is a system of kind of very creative, imaginative astrology in which you advance the planets one day for every year of your life. So if you're 42, you would do a chart for your 42nd day of life, and it would have a reflective influence on your life when you were 42. He can do relocational astrology. Are you unhappy in Miami? Would you be better off if you moved to Kauai? He can do a chart and will tell you whether you will be or not. He also does horary astrology. This is
my
astrology
favorite.
I love it too. Horary astrology means the astrology of the hour, really of the minute, the moment. You ask a question, and in the moment you ask it, he throws a chart up. And this has been made very easy for us now with electronic devices. But it used to be, you know, the work of an hour to draw that chart. But he will answer the question based on what the planets are at the moment you ask the question, on the belief in synchronicity that the moment you ask the question is the moment the question is answered. He also does electional astrology. This is elective work where you say, I want to get married on the very best day between my chart and my mate's chart and what's happening right now in the transiting sky. What's the best day for us to marry to set the tone for our marriage? And electional work can be done for marriages. It can also be done for induced labor to have a baby. It can be done for signing paperwork for home ownership or starting a new business. So with all of that, and I'm saying these things because people go astrology and their eyes glaze over.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who has a tremendous number of ideas going on and at his fingertips, plus which, one more, he does financial astrology, which is based on cycles of the slower moving planets with relationship to the planets that govern finances in certain sectors, such as speculation in different kinds of industries and or savings and or the housing market. So without further ado, here is William Stick Evers, and I hope I built you up enough, baby.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Countryman Ali, for having me here today. I look forward to discussing the astrological new year and how this is all going to unfold.
Right. Okay. Well, what we're going to talk about is astrological new years, plural, but this is our astrological new year. By our, I mean Western esoteric European magic's astrological new year. There are many ways to calculate a year. You can calculate it by the passage of the sun, and it comes back, hey, every year. You can calculate it by the passage of the moon, by full moon to full moon, and there's not quite an even number of them, kind of around 13, kind of. There also isn't exactly an even number of days for the sun to return to the same place. So we kind of fudge that a little bit. The making of calendars has been a thorn in the side of human intellect for millennia. But where do you start? Some of us start on what's called the mundane new year, January 1st. Well, that comes out of some political bullshit. It really has almost no relationship to the new year as farmers would perceive it. Most farmers perceive the new year when spring comes, when the days are even length, the equinox, and that's coming up right now. That's what we're going to talk about. But there are other ways to look at it. Does the new year start on the shortest day? Well, if it did, it wouldn't be January 1st. It would be around December 21st or right after as it gets longer. Or you could say, how about the fall equinox instead of the spring equinox? If you live in a place where there are dry seasons and rainy seasons, it isn't the birth of the little baby chicks and the little baby lambs that you're marking. It's the beginning of the rain. And so that would be people who celebrate their new year at fall, like the Jews do, and incidentally, the Cherokee Indians. Which, by the way, has led people to believe that the Jews and Cherokee Indians must have known each other in a past lifetime. But very few people begin the new year at the fall equinox. Many more, especially in the northern hemispheres, begin at the spring equinox. So that's what we're talking about right now. We're coming up on the spring equinox. So, William, when is the spring equinox this year?
Well, according to the traditional astrological sources that go back 2,500 years to the time of the Hellenistic era, the astrological new year occurs when the sun ingresses into zero Aries, and that occurs this year on March 20th, 2017, at 6:29 a.m. Over Washington, D.C., because according to the tradition, is when the moment when the sun comes into Aries at the site of a nation's capital provides the most comprehensive image of the archetypal energies and potentials that are likely to unfold and constellate throughout the year. And the astrological portents for 2017 indicate that the status of issues both on personal and those now in play on the world stage are going to be changing quickly, intensifying, and accelerating.
So give me that time of day again. What was that time?
That would be 6:29 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
6:29. I'm writing this down in the chat room. You know, we do keep this chat room going, and people are always asking, you know, to have that to read it and get their marks, you know, straightened up here. So I'm writing this in. Okay. Now, I love what you said about the capital being the place where the time is figured for a nation. Now, can you describe what is characterizing this year? Because what we're going to do is really a reading for the whole year, correct?
Correct. Well, what's really characterizing this year has to do with this powerful P-square alignment composed of Jupiter, Uranus, Pluto. And the last time we saw this type of alignment, well, actually, we've seen this alignment quite recently back around the financial crisis and the election of Barack Obama. We also go further back, saw it during the rise of Hitler and FDR and the Great Depression. So it's quite powerful, and it augurs sudden change in destiny, the urge for freedom, truth, independence, a willingness to take risks, breaking out, to strive to make a drastic change in one's life. It also implies a shocking personal and collective revelations, or truth bombs, if you will, that require one to reframe what one believes is true or the truth based on past assumptions. So we're going to see a lot of shock and awe occurring this year, both on our personal lives and in the outer world on the political and social scene. And we've been seeing this is all really coming down to this Uranus-Pluto alignment that's been in effect since 2007. And this is going to be the peak expression this year in particular into the spring of 2018, where we're going to see widespread radical and political social change, massive empowerment of revolutionary and rebellious impulses, intensified artistic and intellectual creativity. Also during this period, we're probably going to see unusually rapid technological advances, much greater than what we've seen over the past 2 or 3 years, and as well as an underlying spirit of restless experimentation, a drive for innovation, an urge for freedom from many realms where people feel socially or financially repressed. We'll see a lot of revolt occurring against any type of perceived form of oppression, visible and invisible, and an embracing of radical political philosophies, intensified collective will to bring something new into the world, or to bring a new world order into place.
Wow. William, wow. So let me break this down for people who may not understand astrology completely. The planets that you mentioned, and particularly Uranus and Pluto, they are outer planets. They move slowly. That means that once they go into an alignment, they will stay, from our perspective, from our viewpoint in the solar system, they will stay in that alignment sometimes for years, Pluto being very slow moving. Pluto is the planet, some people call it a planet of death, Hades. It can be a planet of compost and dirt and things that are hidden. Uranus is technology. I always look at Uranus as the emblem of the microwave relay tower, in one ear and out the other, transmitting. The internet really came into prominence with Uranus as the lead planet. And when these two are in alignment, this is why you're saying radical political philosophies. Uranus is the primordial, I don't give a fuck, it's the truth. groups like WikiLeaks go under there. But when they turn dark, like Pluto can get involved, we end up with groups like ISIL, a.k.a. ISIS, because they want radical change too, but they don't care who they kill to get it. So this is a difficult time that's coming up. It can be a time of great change. We hope that the changes will be good. But the call-outs you made to those previous times did have some financial implications. So we want to be aware of that too. What do you have to say about the upcoming year financially?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of volatility. You have to remember, the last time we had a Uranus-Pluto alignment in the 30s, we saw the banks closed, right? There was a national bank holiday, gold confiscation occurred. It was a restructuring of the financial system. We're probably going to see something very similar again begin to unfold. For many of the damage control that was put into place in 2009 is wearing off. And it's very abundantly clear with the bond markets. Now, remember, folks, and this is for a lot of people who follow this, is the bond markets often collapse before the stock markets do. And the bond market is twice the size. Pluto rules the bond market, right? And Jupiter rules the stock market. So you're seeing the Jupiter, Uranus, Pluto indicating a implosion of unsustainable debt that is no longer tenable for the growth of the future economy as the economy goes through some type of technological progressive change.
Wow. Okay. Now, I understand, again, what you're saying, and let's talk about Jupiter for a moment. Jupiter is called the expansive planet, and that's why it rules the stock market. Jupiter, one of my teachers said, Jupiter is your kindly uncle. He's a little big around the middle. He gives a lot. He's Santa Claus, right? And that's how people are with the stock market. They want it to go up and up and up and up and up, but it can't always do that. Pluto is the bond market. It's a little bit more things that come due, things that are done for infrastructure change and improvement. It is hidden. It is deeper. And so this is an interesting alignment on that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to talk about other things that are going on, let's just pick for the new year a person might be of any sign of the zodiac. Can you tell us, you don't have to give all 12 of them, but can you tell us a little bit how a person knows where they personally fit in? Because what we've been talking about are the larger, slower moving planets that, as Contraman Ali said in the chat room, slow moving outer planets take so long, some astrologers choose to only read them to understand broader historical change. I was taught to call them the generational planets.
Yeah.
Let's now step in close. How do you figure out if you, as an astrologer, are going to be doing a reading for someone, and we can't be doing these all right now on the air for everybody, how do you figure out how a person of a particular sign or a particular generation will be affected in this coming year?
Well, if you know, for example, in this chart, in this horoscope, this astrological new year horoscope, we notice that Venus is retrograde in Aries and it's combust the sun, meaning it's very close to the sun, all right? And that signature is going to permeate throughout the rest of the year. And Venus in Aries, as you probably all know, being retrograde indicates love at first sight, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But then that retrograde position will change from Aries into the ambivalent sign of Pisces later on. So despite the fast-moving pace of love, there could be trouble in paradise during at some point in the courtship. So, you know, I'm advising many clients, especially who are single and dating, to run the background checks on any romantic prospects before making one's love declaration on Instagram, all right, and making it official or pushing it out there on Facebook.
That's great. I love that idea. Venus retrograde is always a good kind of a good check on our impulses because, you know, you just rush into it and you rush into each other's arms and it's like a television commercial for slow motion hair care products, you know, and wow. But Venus retrograde says, wait a minute, hold up, let's do that background check. And that is, you know, it really is something that I find important to put the brakes on a little when Venus is retrograde. Contraman Ali, you said something in chat. Say that out loud.
I said Venus in retrograde also brings out all the exes from the woodwork. Whenever Venus goes into retrograde, just expect, you know, exes will show up. Phone calls.
I'm gonna give a big yes to that. I just had a phone call from an ex.
There you go.
That I have not had any dealings with in 35 years.
Oh wow.
Okay, and this man told me that somehow he didn't know how. He was cleaning out his storage unit somehow and found a whole box of my things.
Mm-hmm.
My photos of myself as a child. My taped interviews with my mother about the history of my family. My personal journals. Somehow he's had these for 35 years and didn't know it. From move to move, from place to place, somehow He just decided to call. There is your proof. I am looking forward to getting, I'm looking forward to getting those things back. I knew that they were missing from the day they went missing, but I never knew what happened to them.
Yep,
I can
it.
Say no more. I can say no more. So these things just are what they are. So if people want to, if people want to get a hold of you, William, they're asking in the chat room, what is your website? And can you just tell us a little bit about that right now?
Sure. My website is www.williamstickevers.com. I'm also available by Facebook. Many clients reach out to me through there. I'm very accessible through there. And, you know, I do a lot of relationship work in particular, especially with this Venus retrograde cycle in regards to getting, for people getting clarity now between the negotiables and non-negotiables. I notice a lot of people who are now out single again after a 20-year marriage are confusing their negotiables and non-negotiables, and often that is the biggest issue or problem going forward in making in the dating scene. So they're not very clear about that. A non-negotiable, for instance, for those who may not be aware of, would be someone, would be an issue which would be a red flag, all right? This would raise a red flag, especially in the first three dates, where if someone, for example, if non-smoking, a non-smoker was a non-negotiable, no matter how much you were drawn or like that person, if they pull out a cigarette on the first or second date, you would no longer continue dating them or pursuing them.
Right.
And a negotiable would, right. And a negotiable would be someone who, let's say, someone says, well, I really like people with blue eyes. And maybe that was a non-negotiable when you were dating at 20 years old because you were highly sought after at that point. But at 40, that non-negotiable should probably be in your negotiable list, right? Where someone
right.
happens to have blue eyes and meets all your non-negotiables, then it's just like more icing on the cake. And so I help clients get clarity on that. And that's probably going to be primarily what I'll be doing in terms of my relationship consulting for this year.
Wow. Well, you know, relationship work is very much dependent on the natal horoscope. So I want to prepare folks, again, who are unfamiliar with astrology, in order to get these predictions personalized, you're going to have your natal horoscope done, the other person's horoscope done, and then there are several ways to combine them. William and I use different methods, but they're both valid. I will put up both charts as if they were on transparent layers, and then draw connections between the two of them. There is another way to do it in which you you find the halfway point between the two similar planets, halfway between the two Venuses, halfway between the Jupiters, and you create essentially a third phantom chart. And that's, I believe, the way you do it, William, right?
Yeah, that's a composite chart.
Composite chart.
So that,
and the kind I do, people sometimes call synastry or relational
right.
chart. But both ways are valid. In fact, I know people who will do both to really get into a relationship, to really understand everything about it. So those of you who are looking for love in the new year, this is how to do it. And I really have to say, this is to me a topic that I would love to talk about on any time for any reason, but the astrological new year is also the time when we prepare ourselves for the year, and there are remediations that we can do. For instance, I have here in Facebook a chart that Nagashiva kindly put up of the astrological new year, and it shows that Jupiter, as William was explaining, is kind of off by itself, but it is relating to both Pluto and Uranus, right? And I can look at this and I see that Jupiter is in Libra. Now, Libra is a planet of beauty. It's ruled by Venus. So I immediately look for where Venus is, and Venus is retrograde. We already knew that. So Jupiter is not going to get a lot of help from Venus. There's no aspect to Venus. So Jupiter is kind of off on its own. And I look at things like that and at times like that, and I think, how would I like to greet this new year? What would I do myself? I know I'm a Venus-ruled person. This is not a really great thing here for Venus exactly. But I see a few other things that are interesting. The moon is conjunct Saturn. Now, the moon moves very quickly, but when this year starts, the moon is conjunct Saturn. The moon is motherhood. Saturn is limitations, restrictions, and it might be a good time for me to examine my views about myself as a grandmother, because, you know, and it's Sagittarius, which is philosophical. I might, you know, send some books to my grandchildren, for instance, as a way of expressing grandmotherliness, perhaps. You want to do the best you can with the planets you've got, and having an astrologer is to help you and guide you and give you the narrative of what to do is very important if you want to work with a reader who is an astrologer. Now, William, I'm a Taurus, okay? Mm-hmm. And Mars is in Taurus right now. Tell me what I'm looking forward to this year with Mars in Taurus at the beginning of this astrological new year.
Well, I would say that Mars is the impulse to take action. And many people I'm finding with Tauruses in general that they're either pursuing some new field of job, or if they're already in a already seated in a particular profession, they're in the process of getting a degree or certification or writing a book or creating more credibility and sustainability in their work. So there's going to be, I see a lot of Tauruses getting to action this year. They're going to be making a lot of shifts. They're reinventing themselves in some ways with their career or shifting something with their career. So I feel them really trying to move forward and find some additional outlets for self-expression as well.
Okay.
They're going to be a lot more physical this year. They're going to be more into exercise.
Okay. All righty. Well, that's it. That's all we have time for. So I just gave you a touch of what Taurus would be doing. Thank you so much, William. Folks, what you need to do is get a hold of William and get your chart done for the astrological new year. Honest to gosh. Now, we're going to do some readings. And our announcer, Papa Newt, is going to bring on our first client, who is Anna from South Florida.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, William Stick Evers. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we would like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is a first-time caller calling in from area code 772 in South Florida. This is Anna. Anna, are you there?
I am.
Oh,
hi.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry about that, hon. Didn't mean to mispronounce your name. And welcome to the show. Now, I had a quick question while I was looking at your information here, hon. You said that you had had a reading from Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali, and on this situation, and this reading, private reading, was 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 4 years ago with Conjurman.
Oh, okay. So it's continuing. And then you also had a reading with Ms. Bree 4 years ago also on this situation, correct?
I did.
All right. Thank you so much for the clarification. And she writes, I recently got in touch with a man that I've known my entire life through family connections that I haven't spoken to in 9 years. We've had a brief romantic relationship in 2008 and hadn't been in touch since. He recently reached out last week. Other readings have all told me that we have a connection and he should be in my life. And I was wondering if this reconciliation can or will result in a romantic relationship between us. I'm turning back to you, Ms. Kat.
Holy moly, we couldn't have designed that any better, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
What did William just say? The repeating of a pattern from 2008. Didn't he just say that, folks? Can I get a witness?
That's crazy.
Right? It's crazy, man. And didn't he just say Venus retrograde and Chandramanali said the X's are coming out of the woodwork? Right?
He did.
And
I was listening whole time.
Yeah. Dang. That's it. That's how astrology is, man, up to the minute and the entirety of history at your fingertips. There's nothing like astrology. Wow. All right. Well, I hope that this proves to be a good one for you. I'm going to ask a couple of questions now because you know me. If you ever listen to this show, I do always ask about astrology in the broadest way. I ask, what is your sun sign?
I am a Libra.
A Libra! Oh, man. Weren't we just talking about Jupiter is in Libra off there by itself, this focal point? William, say yes.
Yes.
All righty.
Yes.
A Libra. A lovely Libra. And the X. What is sign is the X?
He is a Scorpio.
A Scorpio, ruled by Pluto. And weren't we just talking about Pluto in relationship to Jupiter? Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Sweetheart, I don't need to read any cards. You just read yourself. Do you understand this? Do you understand? We just basically laid out your question and your answer, and then you called and asked for your answer. Damn. When this goes down, and I'm going to tell you, I like to read cards. But, you know, for 22 years, I was primarily an astrologer. I actually prefer astrology to card reading, but you can't do it as easily on the radio because you can now with some of these new programs and electronic calculations. But even so, sometimes you have to take the time to explain to someone. You're not just talking arbitrarily. They go, I don't understand that planet you just mentioned. All right, I'm going to put down three cards, and we're going to see what we get. But I'm telling you, yes, the readers who read for you and said there is a reason for this connection, yes, it just got blown out, stimulated. You see what I mean? It's like the little astro fairies just went around with their little tickling feathers and just went tickle, 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 and now there he is, right? Now, whether it's going to turn out any better than it did before, that's kind of where we're going to have to go with. But remember, as always was said, the stars impel, they do not compel. You could get tickled, wake up, have a date, go away. It's up to you. You could even not have a date. But ultimately, our free will is our own. And astrology is kind of like the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what Nagashiva just said in the chat room, when the stars are right, the options come into being. And honest to God, you just described this entire astrological new year for yourself. All right, three cards, and I'll be quick about it. Number one, Jesus Christ, it's justice. Now, everybody who's a tarot reader is going, justice? Why, that's the card of, guess what, Libra! Okay, so justice is, yeah, we're hot today. Justice is the card of Libra, and this is a card of a woman sitting on a little bench, holding a sword upright, perfectly well balanced, and she has a little balance beam scale in her hand, like the court of justice, and it's about balance. It's about restoring balance. I am not a great believer in past lives. In fact, I don't believe in past lives at all. But I do believe in connections between people in this life. And this says to me that there is something between the two of you that does need to be restored to balance. Does that make sense? Something that never was quite, that it didn't end quite right, or there was something out of order. remember I just talked about this man who phoned me up after 35 years and is giving me mm-hmm. back the things he lost in his storage unit of mine mm-hmm. when we broke up? Right. He's restoring balance, see. And okay. And now is the time to do it. So this is a card of the restoration of balance. It says, however, and I always make clear with this card, do not pursue justice. Let justice arise. In other words, if there was something wrong before, don't be trying to fix it now. Just be quiet and calm, look on the bright side, and hope for the restoral of balance. Things that were never quite right may be better this time. It's a good card. It's a card of optimism. It's a card of joy. It's a card also, insofar as it relates to the sign Libra, it's a card of beauty and flowers and pretty and nice. Okay. The next card is not as cheerful, happy. But it's a good card. It's just a card that tells me there's a little bit of delay, possibly. It's the Knight of Pentacles. So this is a man who's on a horse coming forward, and he's holding a coin, and he's on a black horse, but the horse is standing still, and he is unable to move forward because he has other things going on. He's been plowing a field. He's looks like he's ready to be a knight in armor and go to war. He has other things in his background. He does have a memory of a partnership, two oak trees together way in the distance in the background, and he still thinks of it. His horse has oak leaves on its headband, and he has oak leaves on his helmet. So whatever the two of you had together, he's still thinking of it, but there are other things that have come between, and he may not be able to move as quickly as you would like. The third card is a card that is really a happy card and says, take advantage of the beauty and joy of the moment. This card is a card of blessings, and it's called the Ace of Cups. It's a card that shows some sexual connection, a dove flying down into a cup. The cup is sort of exploding outward with fountains of water, and God puts the cup in his hand, holding it up as a blessing, and below is a pond with lotus flowers, which stand for quietude, meditation, and tranquility. So take the blessings you can. This is definitely something that is well advised to engage on. If it goes too slowly or doesn't develop where you want, take the blessings you can from it. And that's my reading. So I'm going to turn this over to William and see what he has to say.
Thank you.
Okay. I just did a horary. I just took the moment the question was asked, and I generated a horoscope. And the first thing I noticed is Neptune in the seventh house. So the person asking the question is the first house, and the person they're asking about, this gentleman, is the seventh house. And Neptune is in the seventh house in the horary. So in and of itself, relationships can be particularly difficult if there's a lack of clarity or a lack of outcome here. Neptune in the seventh house is like the romance significator par excellence. All right, one can fall madly in love with someone because he seems so perfect and ideal, right, based on or if there's a history there, although the truth may be quite different. And Neptune doesn't automatically indicate a bad relationship, all right, but the object of your love may not live up to the expectation, be worthwhile, be able to meet your long-term intimacy needs, right? But we tend to often go for it because we often seek the ideal in whatever we long for in terms of intimacy and love. Generally what happens here is that if one's especially lucky, is the fog lifts and you will find that whoever you're involved with, you pick someone who could be good for you. On the other hand, there could be a difficulty accepting his faults, whatever they may be, because you were so wrapped up with the ideal or the perfection or that thing that you once had together, all right? In the horary, the moon is the co-significator of the person asking the question, and it's conjuncting Saturn, all right? And Saturn is the planet of difficulties, setbacks, problems, and disappointments. So disappointment in love, if we combine it together with Neptune in the seventh, all right, is a frequent consequence of this type of scenario that we're seeing here. And the disappointment will be more acute if you fall for someone who is not all that worthwhile in the end. So there's an issue of sustainability, tenability. He may be emotionally unavailable to some degree based on some emotional baggage. He may have an issue with commitment in general. He may have polyamorous tendencies, all right, that are hidden and he's in denial about. So the idea here is to proceed with caution and to do a little bit more of a background check before moving forward. Although in the horary, I do see you moving forward with this, regardless of what I believe we're going to advise today. I think you're going to move forward in pursuing this relationship.
Wonderful. Now, basically, both of our readings agree. This is, and he mentioned the Moon and Saturn. This always reminds me of the title of an old movie, Out of the Past. And that card that I had, the Knight of Pentacles, which shows that he may have other things going on in his background. He did not forget you, but there's something else going on. So be cautious. Remember, both of us said, do not pursue. You will go ahead with this, but be observant as you go ahead. So I'm going to say that we're giving you a cautious yes, if mm-hmm. you understand what I'm saying. It's a cautious okay. yes. And there may be a reason that this connection has come about again. And you should remember, because of that Neptune, not to be too fanciful. Although Neptune can bring your dreams come true, all my dreams fulfill is the cry of the lovely Neptune person. Now let's turn this over to Conjurman Ali, and he's going to give you some practical root work considering the readings that we have obtained.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Your situation is one, based off the reading that I have seen so far, it's a case where there's clearly some form of connection. What that connection is or what it will lead to is a different story. Just because we have connections with people does not always mean that they are meant to be our soulmate or our partner for life. It does mean, however, that we're learning something from them, that they're there in our life for a particular reason. In particular, when this cat drew the Justice card, for me the Justice card in situations like yours is usually an indication of some sort of harmony needs to be met, some type of debt needs to be paid. So there's some form of mm-hmm. unfinishedness that needs to be completed, right, is usually the sense
right.
I'm getting. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you and him are going to hit it off and that's it. So we're going to do some work where you're not pursuing him, but to have some clarity on what's going on while also giving this a nudge in the direction that you want it, because you've clearly seemed interested in some level in this person. You said that you've had a connection, and for a long period of time, you're very curious about their return. So we're going to give it a little bit of a nudge. But this working is also divinatory. It's meant to help you understand what's going on. So what I want you to do is get a photo frame, and you are going to set this photo frame up with a picture of you and him. If you can get a picture from a memory that you have that you share with him that was ideal, it was a happy moment, use that photo, okay? If not, then use a little bit of editing skills to edit you two together. And place this in the picture frame. In front of the picture frame, you know, set up this surface so that you use it for this work. You're going to set up three candles, and these can be 6-inch candles, or they can be 4-inch candles, whichever you prefer. You're going to set in a straight line from left to right a white candle, a pink candle, and a red candle. The white candle you are going to inscribe with his name, the pink candle, with his name and your name, the pink candle the same thing, and the red candle the same thing. The white candle I want you to dress with clarity oil and tuberosa, which is good for getting honesty in a relationship. The pink candle I want you to dress with come to me. And the red candle, I want you to dress with love me. Start this working when the moon is waxing. Started on a Wednesday, ending on a Friday. On the Wednesday, you are going to go get yourself some violet leaves and root. You're going to brew this into a tea. You're going to add a couple drops of tuberosa oil, and you're going to use this as a bath. You're going to bathe in this. You're going to let yourself air dry. Gather a bit of used bath water once you're dried off. Take the bath water, sprinkle it on your front yard, call out this person. Then come and light your white candle. Pray over it from your heart. You can pray Psalm 23. For if I remember correctly, Ms. Katz, one of the cards was the Ace of Cups. And that's connected to that. We can also just pray directly from your heart. Watch how that candle burns. Look for omens in the candle. Look for omens in the wax. Let it burn all the way down. The next day, on a Thursday, you're going to go and take another bath. You're going to take, in this bath, you're going to take rose petals and catnip. Add a couple drops of cumin oil and bathe in this bath. Let yourself air dry. Gather a bit of the used bath water. Sprinkle it outside your door. Come back, light the pink candle, watch it burn down, pray over it, pay particular attention to how the wax looks once it's all burnt. Third and final day, you're going to repeat the process. You're going to get a bath with rose petals, magnolia leaves, love me oil, and you're going to bathe in that. You can also add cherry bark. It's good for this particular bath. You're going to bathe in that, air dry, take the used bath water, sprinkle it by your front door or on your front yard, burn down the red candle while you're praying. Once it's all burned down, look at the what's remaining of the wax. How it burns will tell you what's going on in this situation. If a candle burns more clear, that tells you that's great. If there's leftover wax, that's where the issue is. Let's say the white candle and the pink candle burn down, but the red candle leaves a lot of wax. That tells you that this is going to be a bit of a flirtation. There's going to be honest communication between you, but it's not long-lasting. If one candle burns and the other two, whichever configuration will give you a sign. Look at the wax readings. Look at the way the candles burn. Record all of it. It will give you the answers that you need. When you're all done, take the wax and bury it in your front yard if you still want this man. If by the end of this working you look at it and go, this isn't for me, you can take the wax and dispose of it at running water. The deed is done. You've gotten the lesson, and it's done. So that's what I would recommend.
Thank you.
Let's see if Ms. Kat or William have anything to add to this.
Yeah, I've got
a couple
of questions because you were talking very fast and we were having a little breakup on your phone, as sometimes happens. The first candle, what was the oil to dress the first candle?
Clarity and tuberosa.
Clarity and tuberosa together. Okay, great. All right. Thank you so much. That is a really wonderful work. And when you ask about how the wax burns down, what you're looking at, hon, are signs like, does it form a heart? Does it form tears? Does it form a skull? Things like that. Okay.
Do they reach for one another?
Do they reach for one another? Exactly. All right. Thank you for entrusting us with that. And we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, and he's going to bring in our next client, Anthony.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandreworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 323 in California. This is Anthony. Anthony, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for allowing us to process with answering your questions here today. Now, I do see that you have not gone to any private readings with Ms. Kat, Conchman Ali, or any other readers and root workers. Is that correct on this situation?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. And Anthony writes, for the past 2 years, I have been having trouble with my money coming to me and staying with me. I have been living off of people loaning me money to be able to pay my bills and get by. Whenever I do have a good amount of money before, I know it is all gone in bills or something comes up. For example, my car will break down and all my money is gone. I would be more than happy to give a reading and rework advice. Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right, Anthony. So,
hi.
I'm not going to be reading for you, but I'm going to ask a couple of questions before we start. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I am Aquarius, January 25th.
Aquarius, okay. And about how old are you?
I am 23.
23, so very young, not yet in your Saturn return, one of the things we always look for. All right. So having started us down that path, I'm going to turn this over to Ali, and he's going to do your first reading.
Thanks for that, Kat. And thanks for asking the age. I was going to ask if you didn't. I think you said you were an Aquarius, if I remember, heard you correctly, right?
Yes, Aquarius.
Okay, so I pulled a few cards here. Before I go any further, I do want to mention that Aquarius, and I've talked about this in the show before, Aquarians generally do have a little bit of difficulty with money a little bit early on in life. They tend to find their careers, solid work, and solid money a little bit later. That's just been my experience, and I know several astrologers who can corroborate that. It's just not all Aquarians, but in general, for Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius, money comes a little bit later in life. That's just one of the issues of being a sign that is ruled by the planet that you are. Now, I have pulled three cards, and they do indicate that there is also something else going on, that there isn't just an issue of, oh, time will resolve this. The first card that I have is the Moon card. The Moon card tells us of a deeper spiritual condition, a sterility in what's going on. Sterility means that you're working for money, but you're not reaping the benefits of it. I mean, you're working off of loan. That's a big issue. The Moon card shows us two canines, a wolf and a dog, howling up at the moon, but the moon remains unchanged, meaning that you're working really hard, but you're not reaping anything from it. There's a certain barrenness in what you're working with in the conditions. You're unable to plant seeds and then let that grow and harvest and live a self-sustained life off of that. And this means that there's something spiritually going on. There's some type of jinx that's been placed on your money. It's done in the past. It's not something that you're currently dealing with. So it's not an active jinx in the sense that someone is still lighting candles on you. But it is something that has happened in your past, and it has brought about the circumstances that you're currently going through. Added to the fact that you know, your life past may already be dealing with financial woes, I would highly recommend getting an astrological reading of some sort. William is on the show. He is one of our new members and one of the wonderful new astrologers at AIR, so I recommend getting an astrological reading to see if there is something going on there in regards to your life path and money. But a jinx has exasperated that, and it's caused the issues that you're currently dealing with. The next card that we have is the Three of Pentacles. The Three of Pentacles is two helpers that is assisting you, the individual who is now standing on a bench and working. It's a card of building towards something, but it's not a card that indicates money is coming your way. It's one of the few pentacle cards that actually doesn't have golden coins in it. The pentacles are up in the arch, indicating that you're building towards something. You're not reaping the money from it. So what does this mean? You need to look to nonprofits. You need to look for allies. You need to look for long-term investment. Short-term investment is not going to turn things around for you. You're going to have to do some uncrossing work, some breaking of a jinx work in order to remove what's been placed on you. You're going to have to plan accordingly, recognizing that in the short run, you may be living paycheck to paycheck. continue to invest, knowing that in the long run, something will come of it. Put your faith in the work that you're doing, even if you don't see an immediate result. That's going to be going on for a little bit longer. I know you said 2 years. I do see that this may go up to 3. So just be patient with that. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But continue to put your faith in the work that you're doing. It will yield results, even if in the immediate it isn't giving you the relief that you need. And the final card that we have is the Two of Pentacles. The Two of Pentacles is you seeing your way out of this difficulty, out of the trouble, but it takes time. It's going to be that 3-year mark that I see that change. The Two of Pentacles also tells me that you are going to have a specific helper that walks through your life. This isn't just friends or allies or people that are giving you loans, but someone specifically who will help you with your finances. This may be some form of advisor, they may be spiritual, or they may be practical, but it's going to be someone that you're going to work with long term. Look for someone to aid you in regards to that. Look for someone who is a fire sign. Look for someone who's a little bit older than you, and look for someone who will be able to give you advice on your situation. They've made a career for themselves. They've gone through something similar, and they've succeeded. Look for a mentor and that type of person, because they're going to be a big help for getting out of what you're going through. This is what I see here. It isn't an easy path forward. It's not one that is going to be relieved immediately, but it does tell us that there's hope. You just have to hold out and find the right people.
All right. Well, this is an interesting thing to me, because the Two of Pentacles, I sometimes call the
Three
ups and downs. What? Oh, I thought you said the Three of Pentacles first, right?
No, the Moon card first, Three of Pentacles, Two of Wands.
Oh, Two of Wands. Everybody wrote down Two of Pentacles, including myself. Two of Wands. No wonder you said a helper. Got it now. So sorry. I'm going to write down Two of Wands. Yes. Two of Wands means a mentor, helper, assistant, or colleague of the way. Very good. Now I understand what you were talking about. All right. I'm going to turn this over to William, and he's going to give a horror rereading.
Okay. So when... he drew up the question here. I noted the condition of a second house in the Hori, which has to do with money, wealth, accumulation, assets. And I noticed that the ruler of the second house was in the eighth house of debt. It was in the eighth house of debt, taxation, and the type of indentured servitude that debt, having excessive debt, brings on. So it indicates to me the issue really has to do with getting educated about money, that the querent is financially ignorant in terms of having really no understanding of wealth creation, and that it will require some type of education on some level or initiative on his own, all right? Because very much Mercury in the eighth house and the Mercury implied in the Hori indicates that our thoughts create our financial reality. So he needs to change the way, or you need to change the way about how you're thinking about money, all right? Because your ability to think about something differently lies the power to make it different. So, all right, your personal power is being the ruler of the ascendant as well, is also in the eighth house, indicating that one's personal power is being compromised because of the debt incurring or growing or exponential growth of debt, all right? And so that's one of the things we need to do is get you financially educated. You know, one of the books I would recommend right off the bat, especially millennials who are struggling with an economy that's been going through a steady, slow contraction, and how to deal with that is how to get out of debt, stay out of debt, and live prosperly, prosperity, by Gerald Mundus. And this is probably one of the first books you want to pick, because many wealthy individuals we have found historically live frugally at first and understand the importance of eradicating debt. Then they go on and learn how to create wealth in their life. So that would be the first thing. How to get out of debt, stay out of debt, and live prosperously. Reading that book by Gerald Mundus, probably the first thing I would recommend right off the bat in terms of game-changing your approach to wealth. The second book I would recommend is The Law of Divine Compensation on Work, Money, and Miracles by Marianne Williamson. All right, and that's another great work that deals with money on a spiritual level, all right, at a deeper level of understanding in terms of its underpinnings in how we self-actualize in life. And the other book I would recommend would be Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That would be my other book I would recommend. You see that book is very common these days. And I would say that the attention needs to turn to what your values are. It's also learning a tangible, gaining mastery in some type of a tangible skill that has value in a changing, technologically driven economy. It may require you to upgrade your skill set or get immersed in some type of program where there's demand for that particular type of work where you can be compensated and go from an underclass into a working class and eventually middle class level by the time of your Saturn return, which will occur at 28-29. So your big challenge is really gaining mastery over the world of wealth, money, developing a skill set that can give you the level of compensation that's appropriate, that meets your needs, and where you can pay back those debts with high expectation.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question, William, because you haven't been noticing this, but in the chat room, people are asking, because we know that horary astrology is dependent on a chart created for the moment the question was asked. And the question we are asking you is, did you base your horary chart on the moment the person posted the question in the forum, or are you basing it on the moment that Papa Newt read it aloud and you heard it?
Based on the moment Papa Newt read it aloud on the show.
I know it. That's what I guessed. I was right. I just, you know, because it's the moment you heard it. Okay. All righty. Very good. All righty. Now, we're going to go to some root work advice. Now, the advice you got here was very, we would say, leaning toward the mundane, because what we're looking at here is that the problem isn't as much a curse or anything like that as a redirection of your own orientation toward money needs to be undertaken.
So there should be jinx breaking in some part of that.
Yes,
because
yes,
the moon card always
exactly.
indicates a jinx.
Yeah, so Ollie said that there is some sort of a jinx or some sort of a past thing, but it isn't as if you are doomed to be poor all your life. And William also said that it's really time now to reorient yourself. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to create a very small workspace for money work. It doesn't have to be an altar. It doesn't need to be a coffee table or a bookshelf. It can just be a small space on your bureau where you put your clothes in at night or whatever little tabletop you've got. Nightstand or something of that nature. I want you to put on that little place, whatever it is, a very light dusting of a powder called money drawing powder, money drawing sachet powder. You're not going to dump it all over and make a mess. Just blow a little bit so it's got a little powder on it. And then over that powder, I want you to put a little cloth. It can be nothing more complicated than a green bandana with little paisleys on it, or it can be one of those bandanas that they print with dollar bills all over it, or anything that you consider financially interesting. It can be printed with gold or green, whatever you like. But a little dusting underneath of money drawing powder, and then this cloth. On top of the cloth, I want you to put a bowl, and I would like it to be a shiny metal bowl. And brass is what we usually use. And in that bowl, you're going to start off with a lodestone. And the lodestone can be a small one, a medium-sized one, a large one. It doesn't matter, but you only need one. and you're also going to need some magnetic sand to feed that lodestone. When you get the lodestone, you're going to name it. You're going to say, I'm just going to give you the name of one of mine. I have several of them, but one of mine is named Piggy. It just happens to look like a guinea pig, and I call it Piggy. So I say, oh, look, hi, Piggy. Piggy you are. Piggy to me you will always be. And Piggy will help me find money. But whatever yours, I know somebody who had a lodestone named Trey. I had know someone who had a lodestone called Big Honker. It'll tell you what its name is. You have this lodestone, and that's a naturally magnetic rock. It is not attracted to the brass. It is only attracted to iron. So that's why we use a little brass bowl, shiny if possible. And you're going to dribble a little magnetic sand on it. You're going to say, I would just say it with my own Piggy, as I feed you, so will you feed me. And you're going to dribble a little magnetic sand on the lodestone. And then you're going to basically empty out your pockets of coins. And you just put coins in around it. Here, Piggy, here's some food for you. And it's like little guinea pig foods, right? And you're going to put little coins around it. If you have some extra dollars, you're going to put dollars underneath the bowl. Just let the bowl hold them down like a paperweight. And you can arrange them very neatly, like a little fan if you want. Every night, just put in a little bit more money. But every bit of money that you put in, you can either dress it with some oil, such as money stay with me oil, money come to me oil, prosperity probably is the better one for you, prosperity. Oil would work. Or if you have no oil to dress it with, just literally kiss it. All right? Here's my little penny. I add my penny, my widow's mite. When that bowl gets filled up, I wanted you to fill it till it's overflowing. The lodestone stays at the bottom, and that every night you're going to put money in that thing till it's overflowing, okay? It should be flowing back onto the dollars and stuff that are on the bottom. Then, when you've got that, and it may take weeks to do that, and you may have to do it someplace secret if you have housemates or roommates who are the kind who might take your money off your altar. You don't want that. But when it's overflowing, I want you to take all of that money, every bit of it, because your money has been jinxed. I want you to give that money to the poor. And this is called blessing your money or taking a curse off your money. And the Three of Pentacles indicates you're going to want to give that money to a nonprofit, someplace that builds housing for the poor or that does repair work for the poor, some charity. And you're going to walk in with your hands full of these dollar bills and these coins, and you say, this is for those who are poorer than I. Then you're going to start your little bowl again, and you're going to start saving money for yourself. But it'll be bigger bills, and you can use that money to get out of debt. Okay? That's how to take off a jinx, bless your money, bless the poor, and set yourself right on the path toward financial independence. And I'm going to add what William and Ali said is right, too. You need some basic financial wealth training and possibly some training in technological job getting. But that's more mundane, okay? So I hope that was of interest to you, and I hope that was able to help. Anybody have anything to add?
I was wondering if I could ask something to Contraman Ali.
Well, you better be quick because you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, just to make sure, if I heard right, you said something about seeking a mentor that's preferably a fire sign?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, that person's actually already in my life, and he's actually helping me with my finances and to start a business. So.
Perfect.
I really thank you so much.
You're
that's
welcome.
Great.
Very happy to hear that.
Thank you so much for letting him know he had a hit with that he got you right.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. All right. We're going to turn this over to the technical Uranian end of our show. Here it comes, folks.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Roof Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with William Stickevers, WilliamStickevers.com in San Francisco, California. Take it away, William.
Yes, today I want to recommend a Crown of Success jar for attracting renown, glory, and riches for the upcoming astrological new year. It's a hoodoo spell that will help galvanize your year and achieve your goals. And what you will need is, one, a glass jar with a metal screw lid, a screw top on top, lid, a crown of success oil, sun oil, a printout of the third pentacle of the sun for attracting renown, glory, and riches, master root, five-finger grass, Bailey's, gravel root, alfalfa, deer's tongue, bay leaf, cinnamon, and a red thread. So, I don't want to talk too fast. I noticed this is being typed out, so I'll talk a little slower. First, cleanse out your jar properly with Florida water. Make sure that's first and foremost. Then print out the third pentacle of the sun, which you can get from the internet. And after you print it out, right on the back of the sun seal, the petition to God or spirit of what you want. For example, bring me success, honor, renown, glory, and riches in my current business or in my job or in my career or in all its forms. And then write your name on your petition three times and anoint the four corners of the seal with sun oil and crown of success oil. Then get a master root and anoint it with sun oil and crown of success oil as well. Then wrap the seal around the master root and then tie it with red. Then place the wrapped master root into the glass success jar. Then add the jar. Add to the jar the following. You're going to add the five-finger grass to give you success in all your activities, right? And then bay leaves to avoid being sued or stopped, in any form of interference by problematic or unwanted people, all right, with your success. Gravel root to give you control over all your job situations. Cinnamon to rapidly attract good luck and money. Alfalfa to prevent financial troubles and to attract steady work, and deer's tongue, which grants eloquence and convincing speech in all matters of business. Then close the jar and place it on your altar. Upon sunrise on March 20th, on the spring equinox, all right, shake the jar and recite the Orpheus hymn to the sun, which is also available on the internet, all right? Pause, then shake the jar again, and then recite Daniel 4:34, my kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and my dominion endureth from age to age. Pause, then finally shake one last time, calling out for your success, saying, I call upon the spirit of the sun to bring me success in all my endeavors, so all my efforts lead me to renown, prosperity, and happiness. Then place the jar back on the altar and close the ritual by reciting the 24th psalm, the 23rd psalm, all right? Then
wow.
Every Sunday, right, on the day of the sun, shake the jar and recite the Orpheus hymn to the sun and call out for your success. Over time, you can add to the jar your petitions, your goals, your picks of people that can help you, to mentor you, to help you with obtaining a job or a business venture, logos of companies that you want to work for. You can add talismans to it. You can also add anointed money. And remember, as you add something to the jar, shake it up, call it out for your success with confidence, knowing that it's already on its way. The more you work with the jar, the more successful you will be in this forthcoming astrological new year.
Wow. Well, that is an amazing spell and has a very good significance for our second client, Anthony. And
mm-hmm.
Thank you, William, for giving a typed version of this. We love it when our guests do this because it allows our tech man, Troll Talhead, Mr. Lucky Mojo Curio Company himself, to cut it up into little pieces and feed it through the chat room so people can see it there. That really does make a difference. This is an elaborate spell, but it's also a very traditional spell. The only, I would call it, non-hoodoo-y thing in it is the Orphic Hymn to the Sun, but why the hell not? I mean, you got everything else going on for you in this one, so do it. Do it.
It's very medieval Mediterranean, a mix of Orphic hymns and songs.
That was what an old friend of mine used to call your Mediterranean spices. Sprinkle that on there, that Orphic hymn. Fantastic. Really an amazing spell. And people in the chat room are asking which seal. It is the third pentacle of the sun. Now, I'm just going to take a little moment here and say something about the seals of Solomon and also the seals of the sixth and seventh books of Moses, the seals of the black pullet, and a few other, the Lamegaton and a few other seals. There are people who say, oh, African-American people never could read. They couldn't use books. They don't know about the seals, blah, blah, blah. All I'm going to say is call bullshit on that. Professional root workers do and did and always have used those seals. Listen to this past week's The Now You Know show with Professor Charles Porterfield for some good hard-hitting information on the book tradition in hoodoo, which is real. It's not all granny tales told in a little log cabin down the lane. And if you read Harry Hyatt's interviews with 1,600 root workers, you will see a significant number of them told him which Bible scriptures to use, which farmer's almanacs to read, and which books of seals to use. So this is something that's been part of hoodoo. Be proud of it. Don't denigrate it and say, oh, it wasn't authentic. It was. It is. It still is. So, yes, we can add the Orphic Hymn of the Sun. Why not? The old Orphics aren't around anymore. Let's pick it up and use it.
I could tell you, there was a guy I knew in Chicago who always put seals in his mojo bag. Always. Without a doubt.
Oh.
African-American man.
Yes.
And he was taught by his dad.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, too, I still have a number of mojo bags made by the late, the great L.B. Wright. Up in Minneapolis, the Tie Rod Company, every one of his mojos had at least one of the Solomonic and or mosaic seals in it.
There you go.
Very traditional, yeah. And those were made for me back in the 1970s. All right. So having said all of that, I'm going to just remind people, go to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival at hoodooheritagefestival.com. Buy your tickets. We're going to have a fantastic presentation. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful festival. There are going to be more air members here than ever before. And there's food, there's entertainment, there are workshops. You will learn a lot. There are books. And it's going to be a really great event. We'll talk about it more next week, I'm sure. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our outro, and then we'll all come back and say goodnight in our ways. Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Councilman Ali, and thank you, William Stickivers of williamstickivers.com in San Francisco, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bringing us the topic on banishing those pesky ghosts and haints from the home and office. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at theconjureman.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you at papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Quick shout out to some of the great folks in the chat room: Wainu, Susan Barnes, Vicky Trancho, Two Moons, Reverend Dr. Sweets, Michelle Jackson, Miss Michael, and Loyal Stranger, and there are many, many more. Thank you all, Alchemical Artisans Hour, Black Juno. Thanks for being in the chat room with us. All right, everybody, time to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.